Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing. We're so excited to share with you the news. Our fifth book in the number one international best-selling series, Ready, Aim, Influence, just won the prestigious ELIT Book Award for Literary Excellence. To celebrate over the next few weeks, we are bringing you an encore of some of the top experts in the book. Enjoy the show. Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights in Published Magazine, Communities, Broadcast, and Live Events, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. Today, I am so excited because I have with us Jennifer S. Wilkoff. Jennifer is the creator of Your Book Is Your Hook and a respected book and business consultant, the literary agent matchmaker, a best-selling award-winning author, an award-winning freelance writer, and a speaker and trainer who focuses on supporting writers with the essentials to become a bestseller. A great project, a strong platform, and a well-polished pitch, presentation, and hook for their book. She supports first-time writers and seasoned authors with writing, getting published, and the marketing of their book ideas and projects, as well as the building of their platforms to raise their visibility to readers and to the media. And she is an amazing person with so much success and such a great story to tell. Jennifer, I am just so thrilled that you're with us today.
Thanks, Vicki. I'm always happy to talk with you, and I'm thrilled to be able to help your listeners today.
Fantastic. So tell us first what brought you to this passion and purpose that you have achieved so much influence and so much success with.
I really appreciate books, and my passion for reading and for writing started when I was 8 years old, and really I got so much out of books when I was a kid, and as a result, as an adult, I actually understand how much influence books really have, but also it's extremely essential to my personal mission in life to move humankind forward, that each of us take the knowledge, wisdom, and experience that we have and put it in a book, put it in a resource that someone can reference years after we've left this planet, as well as while we're here to support them with it. It's really a moving business and a moving position that I'm in as a consultant in this particular field. I always feel privileged with what I get to do every day, Vicki, and it's something that I continue to realize is so essential for us to be able to, as a global society, grow and move forward.
Oh, yeah, what a great contribution you're making to first-time writers, well-known writers, and the whole world of readers out there, Jennifer. I'm in such admiration of the contribution that you make. You know, where did you find support when you were on the rise, and how do you advise future writers to find support for themselves?
Well, one of the things that I always explain to writers, and it's something that I practice myself, is that being in the writing field or being in the publishing industry, it's not a solo sport. This is not something that you're going to do all by yourself. If you really want to do this as a business, as a career, as a writer with a writing career, you have to understand that you're going to be able to do that much more when you build a fabulous and incredibly supportive team. And that's really huge. And that's really what's happened for me. You know, one of the biggest things that I find that's supportive, and I offer that out to the people who come to me and ask me for help, whether they are writers or whether they're other professionals, is I listen to them. And I listen to what it is that they're asking. And then I go into my own world and assess, can I do that? Am I willing to do that with them? And how can I really do my highest and best to support them with what they're asking me for? Instead of imposing something on them, I would rather hear from them what it is that they're doing and what it is that they want support with. And I do the same thing. I look for those people when I'm building teams who can hear me and who can ask intelligent questions because they've been listening to what I've been requesting and clarify with me what it is that I want and what it is that I want them to do so that we can truly collaborate and connect on whatever the item is or whatever the project is so that everybody's in the same boat, rowing in the same direction and communicating. That's really the best thing. When you're on the rise and you have the right team, it is effortless, it's enjoyable, and it's going to make an incredible amount of difference in your life and in the lives of others.
You know, that's such a beautiful picture you paint. And when we've talked earlier, you've mentioned that one of the real important ingredients that your teammates have to have is equal passion for the project to yours, even though it may have been conceived by you.
Absolutely. You know, this is something that is a human nature aspect. And I know, Vicki, you and I have talked about it a couple of times, and I continue to talk about it with many people, is that as a human being, when you're madly in love with something, you will work a certain way on it. And when you're not madly in love with it, you will not be able to work at the same level, at the same caliber, at the same amount of energy. It's just a human response. When you're absolutely mad crazy about something, you're going to do everything in your power to move that forward. And when you're just there because it's something to do and it's not something that your heart beats for, you're never going to work the same way.
So important. And so many times teams are chosen on totally different criteria than passion for the work. And I just think that that's so brilliant. And I want to thank you so much for sharing that with us again today. I know it really changed the way I started thinking about team building when we talked about it some time ago. What other key skills do you think are required for having a really thriving career in the area of writing today?
Well, one of the things that I feel is essential as a writer and as a business, because as a writer, you're really a business person, whether you choose to be or not. This is really your business. And as a business person in every field, including the writing field, you really have to understand what your values are. You have to know what really makes you tick. And I certainly encourage you to understand your core values, so that you can seek out the people who share the same values in their lives that you do. They're the best people to collaborate with for you. The reason for that, Vicki, is that when you make a decision, your core values come into the process. They actually ignite what's going on in the fire beneath the decisions that you're making. So you can imagine the enormous amount of friction that can occur when two people are making a decision about a project and their values are diametrically opposed. It creates an incredibly difficult conversation, a difficult process to get to a decision, because both people can absolutely present the merits of each argument and each side. So the interesting part about working with people who have the same core values or similar core values to yours is that their decision-making is driven by the same tenets. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to agree with you all the time. What they're going to do is their vision is going to be the same as yours, and their methodologies for making those decisions are going to be similar. So they may see things that you may not see, but they'll be able to speak to you in more of a language that you may understand and resonate with. And the decisions that you make will continue to drive your passions for the project and theirs. We always use this term, Vicki, called like-minded. And many people don't really know what that means. And for me, when I talk to people, this is a key skill that I always want them to have. We included it in the Boys Before Business book that I co-authored. And it's something that I teach through that and through other venues, is that you really have to know what your core values are, because they become the operations and the ingredients in your successful business endeavors. And that includes your writing career. Don't ever mistake a writing career as a hobby. It's really something that if you're going to do it seriously, it's a whole business.
Yeah, that's such an important area for people to really understand, especially new writers. Well, you know, you are a phenomenal writer. You've been tremendously successful with your own books, and everyone who's worked with you has been tremendously successful with their books. Do you have some tips on how to create some balance and fulfillment in life? Because, you know, with writers or with anything that we do, we can get carried away in one area and really go out of balance. And you are always so gracious with your time and your giving of professional wisdom. I just want to know, how do you do it, and how do you help others to do that?
Well, there's this concept, Vicki, of self-care that we as professionals, and especially as entrepreneurs, and I put writers in that same category, we tend to put that self-care piece either at the bottom of our list or when I'll get to it list. And the thing that I really encourage people, especially writers, is that it's very, very important to work. It's important to write every day. It's important to pay attention to the projects and to the commitments and passions that you have every day. It's also important to make sure that the vessel that you have, the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional being that you are, is fine-tuned for that as well. And that includes taking time out to play, to enjoy yourself, to rest, to get the wellness care that you require, so that you have a huge opportunity to balance your experiences in life with the experiences that you're providing and creating and giving to others. It's almost like seeing a seesaw or having a fulcrum. The more you can feel it, the more you know how to give it, because you know what somebody has the opportunity to receive on the other end. If you don't know how to receive it and you don't know how to give it to yourself, it sort of begs the question, Vicki, how can you give it to somebody else when you don't know what the reward is on the other side, or you're too darn tired to do it at your highest and best ability? When you actually enter self-care into your equation, your balance for fulfillment in life as a writer, as a professional, and as a person, you'll be a much happier being, and you'll be able to actually move everything forward that you're looking for with ease and grace.
That's so fantastic. And the whole concept of self-care is something that so many of us ignore. I know I do from time to time. You just get busy and put other priorities first. And, you know, it was funny. I was thinking this morning of a quote someone told me, or a question that you ask someone you love, and that is, what needs to happen in order for you to feel loved? I think it's a really powerful question, and for a very long time, I hadn't asked it to people I love, you know. But then I got to thinking about it this morning, and I thought, what a powerful question that is to ask yourself. What do I need to do for myself in order for me to feel loved, you know? And it kind of goes to that self-care aspect. And I'm going to start asking that question more often to myself.
I'm so glad.
So tell me, you spoke to collaborations with teams and so forth, but how important do you think collaborations are to success in writing and success in business in general?
I think that collaborations are really the key to success. And it's something that I think a lot of people are afraid of. They're afraid they'll make a mistake. They're afraid to be transparent. They're afraid to really let somebody in. It's hard enough for some people to do that in other personal relationships, and then to have to do it in their professional world, they're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can handle that. And then there are other people who just thrive. I'm one of those thrivers. You know, I have a tremendous co-author that I love to work with. I love to collaborate on events, activities, and really bring people together. You know, recently I put an article out on my blog, on my personal website, which is really about the value of crowdsourcing and using collaboration as the key in a crisis. And quite frankly, to me, crowdsourcing inherently implies that we're going to do it together. You know, I had somebody once say to me about entrepreneurship when I was first coming into the entrepreneurial world. He said, you know, we're all out here alone together. And I loved that because it really is the truth. And one of the things that I like to do for people is actually define the word together in this way, Vicki. It's actually three words if you think about it. The word to means in the direction of, expressing motion or direction toward a particular point, person, place, or thing that's being approached or reached. The word get is in the middle, and that's what we're doing, right? We're going after it. We're going to get it. That really means that we're looking to obtain, acquire, or go after something for either our own or for another's purposes. And the last piece is the word her, which is really a pronoun that stands for a person. In this case, it happens to be female, but it's really a pronoun. So that means that in order to do something together, no one person is going to do it alone. You really have to grab the hands of the people next to you and go get it. Go run after it together to get that objective as a team. First of all, it's really fun. Second of all, it's much more productive. And third, you don't have to know everything. And that's the whole idea of collaboration. If you can be absolutely stellar in what it is that you do and bring in other people that are absolutely stellar in what it is that they do, and then you put all those people together and you stir it up, that's an incredible recipe for success because everybody's working at their highest and best capacity. They have a particular focus. They know how that focus interlocks into everyone else's efforts. And you're absolutely destined to be able to get whatever it is that you're after to get done. I mean, it's something that could be very, very easy and small and short, or it could really be something that is life-changing, world-changing, and society-changing. Those are the things, those are the successes that come from collaborative effort.
Oh, that's so beautiful. How have you seen that that's changed in importance over recent years, especially with technology coming into the forefront? Have you seen any change in the importance of that?
Well, actually, one of the things, and this just happens to be at the timing of our conversation, one of the reasons why I wrote that blog that I was just talking about crowdsourcing is because of the bombings that occurred in Boston. And one of the things that I can tell you is the reason why I was so motivated to write this was after I read a New York Times article about the considerations that the FBI made before they actually released pictures of the suspects to the general public and asked for help to identify them. That was a turning point where they decided, they made a conscious decision to crowdsource and collaborate with the general public worldwide to identify who these people were. If you can imagine what it's like to have a major agency actually turn to a nation and a worldwide community and ask them, how can you help us? Do something so pivotal that affected an entire global community with fear and impact, and use that to drive them to help and ask the simple question, how can you help us? In this case, how can you help us identify them and help us catch them? That's something that changed the whole equation of the efforts of the authorities and made it possible for them to capture them. You know, this is something that a lot of people say, well, you know, this is something that really happens in the entrepreneurial world, or people talk about the strife in the corporate world, and, you know, this is where they should really be going. I would offer to you that this really is something that can be used in families. It can be used in government processes. It can be used in the simplest and the most complex situations. If you really understand the value of collaboration, it can be two people. It can be a whole worldwide community of people. When you collaborate, things change.
You know, it's so interesting you bring that up from that perspective because it really showed a total lack of ego and almost a humility for a government agency of that nature to actually reach out and ask for help.
It's significant, you know, and like you were asking in your question, in today's times, a lot of people look at the internet and they look at a lot of the digital community, I'll call it, and people feel isolated. They feel together but alone.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at Facebook or they're looking at another community online and they're sitting in their pajamas at home by themselves. And they sort of feel that pseudo sense of community because they can get online and interact with people. But when you're actually doing that to solve something or to create something or to build something or to make somebody else's life a little bit better, it's really something that's different. You know, I'm walking in a philanthropic walk here in New York City, and, you know, people come together in those types of events to make life a little bit easier for somebody else. It's not necessarily about you. It's about something bigger than you. And when people can get to that state, Vicki, of understanding what it is that they do, and it's one of the reasons why I am so passionately driven to support writers, and especially people who want to write about business. I love it when people are fiction writers and they're writing about different processes and they edutain people through their stories. And I love it when people are writing in nonfiction and they take their business concepts that they have and they're able to really make it accessible for somebody else. It's something that really becomes a driving factor in your capacity to influence someone. Not in a let me bash you over the head with what I've got, but more along the lines of how can I really enjoyably enroll you and show you something that you may not have seen or known about before. It really becomes a much different approach. And when we collaborate with one another to move those pieces forward, more people can understand what you have to offer. More people want to ask you more questions because they're more interested. They start to understand in a much easier fashion what it is that you have to offer and what it is perhaps that your own personal mission is. I've talked to you about mine before. You know, my personal mission is to move humankind forward. It's really that simple, and everything that I touch is dedicated to that, and books just move humankind forward like nothing else I've seen. But the thing that I would say most, Vicki, is that collaboration is the key to living the life that you want.
That's a pretty powerful statement. Pretty powerful. So, Jennifer, what do you think are the most important factors in attracting and maintaining great collaborations and partnerships and joint ventures, anything of that nature? What are the most important factors to get it and to keep it?
To me, that really falls into the realm of communication. I'm never going to be a mind reader. I may get some ideas of what it is that you're thinking from what you're saying and maybe what you're not saying, but I'll never really know what it is that you think, the ideas that you have, the feelings that you're feeling, and the maybe not so super feelings or maybe not so super things that you actually have in the present moment until you tell me. I always say to people, I'm only as good as the information I have. If I don't have the information, I'm never going to know. There is no crystal ball that will let me figure you out. I would rather have you tell me and communicate with me. And I've had that happen in projects where people have been very transparent with me about the fact that they're not so passionate about the project or they've lost their passion for the project or something happened in their own personal life and they can't give the project the amount of energy or the amount of effort or the amount of time that it requires. And I truly respect them. And they come to me and I realize after the conversation when they tell me at the end, you know, I was really afraid to talk to you about this. And I would rather have somebody tell me, no, this is not for me, than to have somebody come on to a project or come into a business or ask me for a business relationship of any kind and then later tell me, you know, I kind of knew it from the start. And my head always says, if you felt that way at the beginning, then it would be better if you just said it. Because the thing that I find for people, and, you know, I interview people when they want to work with me, and I'm really interested in understanding why they want to work with me, and I'm interested in why I want to work with them. And I'm very honest and upfront with people when I don't want to work with them. And I'll tell them, you know, this just isn't for me. And people appreciate that in me, and I really appreciate that in other people. So this really falls into the realm of communication. And what I mean by that is not just at the beginning. I teach people about creating relationships from the beginning, how to actually work with them in the middle with conflicts and other types of things that occur and how to really productively close a relationship in such a way so that everybody comes out whole. It's this very unique skill set I've learned that I have as a result of other people's feedback. And it's really something that is important for us as a human society to be able to close relationships productively and gracefully so that people really can move forward in their lives. And I really feel like this is something that is untapped in our education and in our personal development, different activities that are offered, because oftentimes we're so busy creating relationships that we really don't necessarily pay the same amount of attention to the ones that we need to close. And when you actually free yourself of those relationships in a very positive and productive way, you'll find that you not only have more time and energy and effort, they don't plague you. They don't plague you with any types of thoughts of, well, you know, I should have done that differently, or, you know, I probably didn't do that. I didn't probably say that so well. And chances are that you may run into that person again, or you may never run into that person again. But what would life be like if we all left each other just a little bit better? And when we closed a relationship, we did the same thing. We left each other just a little bit better. You know, communication has the potential to make you or break you. And I really would encourage your listeners, as I continue to daily encourage myself, to use your highest and best forms of communication. Be honest, be authentic, and tell the truth. And let people understand how you really feel so that you can live the life that you want and they can too.
Oh, that is so powerful, so powerful. And the work that you're doing, and again, what you're contributing to the world is so powerful. What's your big picture vision for the work that you're doing, Jennifer? Like if we were to look at its impact on the world globally, almost like a legacy, what does that look like for you?
Well, for me, I really enjoy books and I really enjoy stories. And I think that one of the things that we can look at, and it really is a legacy item for me that I just love to continue to foster, is that when you look at generations of people, and it doesn't matter which ethnic group you look at, we all tell stories and we pass them down. We pass them down about our family. We pass them down about wonderful stories that entertain us from generation to generation. And we also tell stories to educate, like moral stories that we can look at and learn from and enjoy in the process. Stories are what keep us going. And for many people, I always say, if you take a quick look at your bookshelf, how many people are on your bookshelf that have already died, but we're all still reading them because they left us such an incredible legacy? And that's really something for me that when I look back on my life, whenever that moment comes, I really feel at peace, I really feel at ease, that I know that I've fostered and assisted and facilitated as many people as I possibly can to help them build their really solid, robust platforms to be able to get those stories into the hands of as many people as possible so that they can touch the lives of others in such a way that when they're no longer here, they can do the same thing that I've done and look back, smile, feel at ease, and be at peace that they've done everything they possibly can while they're here to pass that information, experience, and enjoyment along to the next person.
Oh, how beautiful is that? So do you have like a brief exercise or a tip that could move our listeners to like immediate action in that area?
Well, I really enjoy talking to people who say, you know, I really want to write something, but I'm not really sure what that is. And oftentimes, Vicki, it really happens often with people who are in business. You know, how could a book really help my business? And to me, one of the things that I always say to people is people have an engagement with a book in a different way than they do with your website, with a brochure that you hand them, with a business card, and when they're with you for a brief period of time in person. They engage differently because a book requires attention, focus, and really and a level of engagement that's more of a conversation with the book. So you're not going to pause, change the channel, change the internet website you're looking at, look all over the place and do things. When people are with a book, they're with that book. You know, you have to look at it in order to read it, or you have to listen to it, you know, if it's an audio book. So I would ask people as an exercise, what is it that you want to talk to people about? What is it that you have to say? And oftentimes I encourage people to look at what are the core tenets of your business or your message or whatever it is that you want them to get. This is a giving exercise. And so oftentimes people really need to understand what it is that you want to give to somebody. It's almost like if I could take a little box and wrap it up with a bow, what would I put inside it? And remember, the box is little, so it better be simple. Because the simpler it is, the easier it's going to be for somebody to understand what it is and to receive that. So the exercise is to just sit with yourself. Sit still. I know it's really rare in today's world. Sit still. Have a pen and a piece of paper next to you. And just ask yourself that simple question. What is it that I want to give to somebody else? It could be a business process that you have. It could be an experience, a story that you have that just absolutely changed your world. It could be an experience that you enjoyed and really thought that, you know, if other people can understand the value of doing this, whatever this is, it could be talking to your child. It could be going out on an outdoor adventure, whatever it might be. That's the core tenet, because when you are madly in love with what you're writing, you're going to write it in such a way that it becomes in vivid color, like it really becomes in technicolor for somebody else to read instead of something that's just flat that you slap together so that you could write something. That's the exercise I would encourage them to do.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. So you probably have many of these, Jennifer, but do you have a favorite story either of your own or someone you've worked with that you could share with us briefly?
I'd love to, and I really would like to use the Boys Before Business book because that experience has been magical for me. It's been magical for my co-author and business partner in that project. And Boys Before Business really is something where our business relationship is something that people have asked us about over and over again. How do you work together like that? And, you know, it's something where we really understand who each other is. Our core values are identical. And both of us have just loved taking forward what it is that we do because we provide the tenets to people to build really amazing personal and professional relationships. And when you build a better personal and professional relationship with people, you get more done. What it is that you set out to do really provides you with the reward that you sought in the first place. And for us, that has been our experience with Boys Before Business. It's a book, it's a project, it's a movement for us. And it's really something that not only do we get to live it ourselves, but we get to parlay it and give it as a gift to other people, as teachers, as facilitators, as writers, as people who are able to bring out into the world something that helps other people, Vicki, really understand this value of being able to work together toward a common goal. It's a success story that we have really enjoyed. We've had incredible experiences working with other people who have invited us to bring this information in. And the reason why I mention it is because I'm certain that your listeners have that certain something, Vicki, that can do the same thing, where they can bring what they have to others so that they understand the value and the joy and the pleasure of working together with other people on something. And I would like to encourage your listeners to find that and do that, because that success story that I chose was chosen so that you can understand you can do this. I do it. I love doing it. And when I do it so I can plant a seed in somebody else so that they can do it. And the beauty of Boys Before Business, and one of the reasons why it's such a great success story, is we've had people endorse us at the highest levels. We've had people endorse us for what we do. But then we have people that come back to us and say, this changed my life. Like, here are the results. you know, I'm getting married, and I've gotten married in 5 months. I never thought that I would meet somebody. I actually changed my whole business model, and now the people that I hire are really amazing to work with, and my productivity has skyrocketed. I mean, these are the types of things that you want to foster in everybody's world around you. You've got that certain something. You can definitely do it. Success is not about getting the testimonials and the feedback. It really starts with you and you giving that gift to somebody else.
Oh, what a beautiful story. Jennifer, thank you so much. I could just talk with you all day, and we've only tapped into such a small amount of the wisdom and the generosity you share on your website. So if you could share that website so people could connect with you and get to know you better, I would just love that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. For those who are interested in the aspect of what I do in the book publishing world, please refer to yourbookisyourhook.com. Yourbookisyourhook.com. And if you want to know more about me beyond the book world, you can go to my personal website, which is Jennifer, S as in Sam, Wilkov, W-I-L-K-O-V as in Victor, .com. JenniferSWilkov.com. And if you're a Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or LinkedIn fan, you can certainly find me on all those different sites. And if you meet me in person, please come up and meet me. Come up and shake my hand. Tell me who you are. I'd love to meet you.
Oh, again, Jennifer, thank you so much for the generosity that you always show with your time and all your knowledge. And I hope everyone will take advantage of visiting your sites and get to know you better, because it's been a real gift in my life to get to know you well. So thank you again for being here. And for anyone who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week. For more information about the award-winning book, Ready, Aim, Influence, visit expertinsightspublishing.com. Be sure to join us next Thursday and have a great week.